I'm now really delighted to introduce Margot Linden. She's the Chief Executive Officer of Superfriend, Industry Funds Forum Mental Health Foundation. Superfriend delivers targeted workplace programs, initiatives, resources and research to improve the mental health and well-being of all profit-to-member superannuation fund members. It's actively supported by the supporting partner group insurers and superannuation funds, and Margot's work intersects with the mental health, superannuation and life insurance sectors. She has a Bachelor of Business degree from the University of Queensland and is a member of the Australian Institute of Company Directors. Please welcome Margot Linden.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's absolutely wonderful to be here this afternoon, and thank you for that warm introduction. I'd like to get a show of hands of how many people know about Superfriend. If I'd done that 5 years ago, I might have had one or two in the room. So it's wonderful to know that there are many people now within the financial services sector that are aware of this incredible organisation that I'm very privileged to lead. So Superfriend is a national mental health foundation. We are all about saving lives and improving lives for people who are either experiencing mental illness or at risk of developing mental illness. And also for the rest of us who may or may not experience poor mental health in our lifetime. The most important thing about the work that we do is it is very collaborative, and I think the opportunities that we have to work within the financial services sector to promote better mental health and wellbeing to millions of Australians is an absolute privilege and a pleasure. It's also very unique. There is not another organisation like Superfriend anywhere in the world. There is an organisation in Canada, but they're a little bit different to us. And the opportunity for us to be able to partner with the industry and to then take evidence-based programs, initiatives, tools and resources out to millions of Australians and workplaces, as well as working within the sector to help this sector improve its practices and policies around mental health is absolutely fantastic. Hit it harder. Oh, too far. Sorry. Let's go back. There we go. So I'll just give you a brief overview about mental health in Australia and some of the current statistics. I think it's important as we're going to be talking about the future, we kind of need to understand the here and now. 45.5% of the Australian population aged 16 to 85, which is pretty much our working lives, will experience a mental illness in their lifetime. That's about one in two. In any given year, it's one in five Australians. We sadly lose over 2,500 lives to suicide every year in this country, and that is more than our national road toll, by a stretch. There is a lot of work to be done in the suicide prevention sector, and we're working very closely with industry to try and halve the rates of suicide in the next 10 years. Of those who experience mental illness or are diagnosed with mental illness, only 3 to 4% will experience what is known as severe mental illness or at the severe end of the spectrum. And they typically are those that we should be seeing coming through on our TPD claims. But for those in the industry, you will know that our TPD rates are much higher. And part of that is around the work that we need to be doing to encourage better return to work outcomes. For most people, they experience mild or moderate mental illness, and that allows them to get back to work quickly or stay in work, which is really fantastic. The best outcomes, though, are for those when we actually are able to get in and do some work in the early intervention space. So what does that mean for the group insurance market and for the work that we're doing within the sector? Mental illness-related claims and primary cause of claims are certainly an area of great cost and a great complexity in which to administer. We're paying hundreds of millions of dollars a year as a sector to members who are putting in a claim for mental illness as a primary cause. I've often been asked, well, if we added the secondary cause of claim, and that is for somebody who may have a back injury or something like that, and then go on and develop depression or anxiety or some other mental illness, that secondary cause of claim, what would we be seeing as a statistic? And I think it's probably close to 60 or 70% of all claims would be affected by at least poor mental health if it wasn't at least diagnosable. So the opportunity that we have within this sector to tackle this incredibly challenging and enormously big issue that we have within our population is I see through six different channels. And I'll concentrate only on three today, basically for time. The first is around working really collaboratively together around improving our claims management, and I'll get to some further details about that in a moment. I think the other call out for you as a sector, as business leaders, as business owners, is to look after your own people, your own workplace. You yourselves work in an environment where there is high stress, there are long hours, there are often, you know, contributing factors that will increase somebody's chance or risk of developing mental illness. So what can we be doing internally in our own backyards about improving mental health? I can tell you from running a national foundation about workplace mental health, when people come to work at Superfriend, the bar's pretty high. They want to come into an environment where they know they're going to be well supported for their own mental health and wellbeing. And we've needed to do some work internally within our own organisation. So I'm a real believer of making sure that your own backyard is fine. The other areas that I see that this sector in particular can focus on is the return to work, the rehabilitation. It is tremendous to see that there is a growing appetite for really supporting people to get back to work or to stay at work. Employers. These guys are sometimes hard to reach from within the financial services sector. Sometimes they're not. But we can certainly be talking to them about the very strong and robust business case about investing in positive mental health and wellbeing practices within workplaces across this country. And then there's the individual worker, and in many cases through the superannuation funds, these are members. This is about really providing opportunity to educate people about what are the simple things you can do to strengthen and improve your own mental health and wellbeing. It's not rocket science, it's not particularly hard, but people do need some education about this. And then the sixth area, which I will go into a little bit of detail, is what can the industry as a whole be doing? What are some of the innovations and the opportunities that we could be working collectively together to have a global or at least an Australian national impact on things like product underwriting, pricing, and most importantly, customer service? So the first area I'd like to speak to you about is around claims management. Late last year, Superfriend was very proud to release a piece of work that had taken a number of years and a huge number of people's involvement to develop. This is, I think, a Bible for this industry around claims management. I believe if you get claims management right for people with mental illness, you will get it right for every other type of illness or injury in a claims management perspective. This is a really tough cohort of members to work with, and what we've been able to do is pull together a framework that is best practice, that is a roadmap about how to improve mental illness claims from the person on claims perspective. We've had international, first of all, I will share, we did scour the world for a best practice already or a gold standard, and it did not exist. So this work has come about from not only the literature that we were able to uncover, but most importantly, the emerging good practice and the good evidence that is coming to the fore here in Australia, but also internationally. We also looked further afield than the group insurance sector and looked at other jurisdictions and learnt a lot from actually the work that's being done in other jurisdictions. The most important part for me about this work is that it really is genuinely best practice because it puts the person at the centre of the claims process and the claims management. Every other area of work where you think about best practice, it's about the person, whether it's be disability, whether it's be education. There's so many pieces of evidence that say if you put the person at the centre and you make the services wrap around and support them, you are going to get far better outcomes. And that's exactly what this framework is all about. It's also designed to be delivered in a modular format for the sector, where you can, as an insurer, as a trustee, as any other general insurer, you're able to pick this up and apply it to your own organisations because it's principle-based. The other element about this framework that I particularly love is that it is a practical approach. We really needed to take a very person-centred but practical approach to claims management. And so there's some very good information and case studies contained within the framework that will allow you to see how you could apply this to your business. The framework itself is made up of 8 action areas, and I will give you a bit of a sense of what they are. Some of those action areas are at a micro level, so are very much focused on, for instance, what could an insurer be doing internally. Some are focused at sort of a meso level, which is more about product design or what could an industry response be. And then some of them are at the macro level, and this is where we're going to need to have some cross-sectorial collaboration. The first 2 action areas have been delivered, and they are very much the how-to guide, and they are developing the management practices for psychological claims. So this is looking at really process and best practice process. The second is optimising claims management teams. So how do you build or create or foster or develop a claims management team that is going to optimise the best outcomes regarding your claims management? The next 2 action areas are going to be developed in this year, and we're looking at doing the, so we're not doing it in order, we're looking at doing the engaging employers that can stay at work and return to work as probably the next action area, and then bringing evidence to treatment and rehabilitation. There's a lot of statements out there about evidence-based treatment when it comes to mental health, and yet the reality is that we haven't actually tested it as an industry. What's really exciting about this piece of work is that, and has completely blown us away, is that we're having conversations with Safe Work Australia about applying this framework to, on a national scale, to the workers' compensation jurisdictions. So we're in discussions about how do we apply this work to workers' comp nationally. We've also been having some preliminary discussions within the health insurance industry. So if you are from the health insurance industry and would like to have a conversation with me, I'd be delighted, because we see that this work is applicable in other areas. The next area I'd like to move on to is about what you could be doing internally within your own business. And this is just a slide that certainly does promote the work that we do from a training perspective around building capability and capacity for people who are working within the financial services sector to step into conversations. If you think about your own personal response when somebody, if they have ever said to you, look, I'm not doing really well, I've actually just been diagnosed with depression, most people do this. They do not want to get involved in a conversation that they don't feel comfortable that they can manage. What this training does is really equip your staff to step into the phone conversations with members on the line who might be distressed, irrespective of whether they have a mental illness or not, and be able to really support them at their time of need. This industry has had some challenges, most recent challenges in the media around customer service and how people have been treated. I honestly believe that if we as a sector are genuinely going to make sure that the 15% of claims that we're currently working with are going to be worked in an appropriate way, people on the front line need to be trained. So I'd really encourage you to think about the processes, the systems, the supports you provide your people to allow them to thrive at work and to be able to provide that customer service. The OECD also supports this type of training, because they talk about, in a recent report, frontline actors not being police and AMBOs and those frontline responders, but being school teachers and people in insurance and business stepping into those conversations. One of the benefits of training is you'll see an improved morale. You'll see an improved culture with you in your own business. One of the CEOs of an insurance company who invested in training for their team said to me, look, I cannot believe the conversations we're having internally within our own organisation as a result of all of my staff being trained in how to have conversations with members. It's now flicking around and improving our own business. We've also done some evaluation on this training, so we undertook a social return on investment, which is kind of like an ROI when you haven't got a lot of the data that's easy to measure in a metric sense, and you need to put some proxies around some more social indicators. And the social return on investment indicated that dollars spent in investing in mental health and wellbeing training, this training, delivered a return of $3.10 or $3.60, somewhere between that $3.10 to $3.60. which is really encouraging. I think there's also a range of other initiatives that can easily be applied to any workplace, and particularly in the financial services sector. I read a report recently that about 33% of people working in financial services were experiencing poor mental health or mental illness. So we've really got some work to do in our own backyard. So just moving on to the future opportunities as I see it, and this is really, I guess, a bit of a throw out to you to think about how can we move into a future where some of these challenges that we face, some of the feedback that we get from the Australian community around how we do claims management, how we do treat people, and even whether that's perception or real, what could we be doing differently? So I wanted to sort of get you thinking about how would we go about pricing or developing product design or delivering customer service if we actually focused on things like somebody's functioning. Rather than an illness or a diagnosis which basically says this is it, let's look at how somebody could actually function. What are their attitudes to rehabilitation, return to work? And trying to put some measures around that, looking at the risk factors associated with functioning versus a medical model of measuring mental illness. I think we've got great opportunity with technology and data. I've only been here at the conference today, and I've got to say I'm just so blown away and impressed with the amount of great ideas that are coming through, not only here in Australia but internationally, about how could we better use technology and data to deliver a better service. And I think that there is genuine movement in this space, particularly around mental illness. Behaviour change is another area, and this is where, you know, I think there's some great work done within the behaviour change psychology movement, where we're starting to really understand motivators and actions and really being able to apply that to a business which is typically focused on the medical model. Incentives are another one. We've seen a lot of, the wearable devices being incentivized for people to wear these things for a range of different reasons. I see that as a great way to actually drive some of the more positive behavior change. I'd also really love to see a less clinical and a less medical model when you're dealing with mental illness-related claims. The really interesting research is that although treatment and therapy and medications are incredibly important, and I would never take away from that, what's also important in recovery are things like good relationships, something meaningful to do like work or volunteering. It's about physical exercise. It's about good sleep. It's about good nutrition, hydration, less alcohol. All of these things actually can contribute significantly to somebody's recovery. And I'd love to see that as an industry we start to embrace these sorts of known benefits to people when they're experiencing mental illness. The other thing that I think is worth mentioning is in 2013, the US Institute of Mental Health stated that they will no longer endorse the DSM-5, which is the psychiatric diagnostic criteria, as it has fundamental flaws. So one of the things I would be encouraging you to think about is, as you perhaps are using some of these instruments or tools in your work, where is the evidence that sits behind all of this, and can we be doing it better? And that speaks to my last point, and that's building the evidence base. One of the opportunities that I see in this sector is to look for ways that we can have test and learn models where we can build some evidence base by really making sure that we've got great rehabilitation or great services that are wrapping around and supporting individuals. What can be changed now? I certainly endorse the discussions and the continued discussions, but I'd like to see more action in standardising definitions. I think for people with mental illness, one of the often challenges they face is what's known as cognitive function issues, where they may not be able to concentrate, they may not be able to process complex information. We as a sector in the financial services sector don't do them any justice whatsoever. We do typically have things that are very, very complicated to explain, let alone understand. So some standardised definitions using plain English, I think, would be a really fantastic step forward and would really speak to the Australian population's concerns around some of the unknowns around life insurance in particular. I think the other area is looking after your own people, training staff, making sure that their stress levels are actually under control and that they're being provided an opportunity to thrive within your workplace. So what encourages me about this sector? I've been involved with Superfriend now for 5.5 years, and I came into this sector, I must say, a little sceptical around, you know, what is the industry really going to be doing to change things for people with mental health problems or people with mental illness. And I'm really encouraged by the way this sector does embrace genuine change and want to do things better. It's really given us an opportunity at Superfriend to engage very strongly with our providers and also our partners to bring about changes. So I'm really encouraged that at the workplace level, where the members that you're insuring, the members that you're working with, are really starting to be provided with programs that are holistic, they're evidence-based, they're practical, and they're very much prevention-focused rather than intervention or treatment-focused. I think it is about utilising the good evidence and the emerging good evidence, and considering that the work that we are trying to do is not just about the 1 in 5 Australians who experience mental illness every year. It's the 5 in 5 Australians. It's about every single one of us and what can every single one of us do to make a difference. I think it's also about establishing a credible role that we can all play in reducing stigma and the impacts of mental health or mental illness. And that again is about, you know, educating yourself, educating your teams of people, thinking about what could you be doing to contribute to this enormous societal challenge that we as a sector can play a really important, although small, really important part. From the sector's perspective, I'm really encouraged by the innovation and the discussions that I've heard today, embracing of return to work and stay at work and the rehabilitation that is actually happening within the sector. I think this is a fantastic step forward about engaging in people in the right way. I also want to commend SunSuper, who's one of our partners, for their recent product release. I think that they have taken a really positive step forward around supporting people who do need to have much more of an interim type of or hybrid type of model between IP and TPD. I think that sort of model is really supportive to encourage people to get back to work. And good work is good for people's mental health. So I really applaud their product design. I also think that we've seen a real change within the life insurance space, and this is terrific to see that there is engagement around whole of life. There's engagement around well-being. There's engagement around wealth and health. You know, you can talk to anyone, and the sector is really starting to look at ways that they can engage with their customers, their members, that is going to lead to better health outcomes. And there's some really good motivations underneath all of that as to why they want to achieve that. So I'm really encouraged by the work that the sector is doing. I'd love to see more action. I'm an action kind of girl. I don't sit still for very long. And I think it's really terrific that the industry is focusing on things like mental health and what they can be doing. I cannot get up here and talk about the work of Superfriend without mentioning these fantastic organisations. We have 21 partner funds, which gives us potential reach to about 7.5 million Australians and 750,000 employers. So we've got a lot of work to do in workplaces in Australia. We're also very generously supported and actively supported by these great 8 group life insurers, and the work that we're doing internally within the sector through taking action, I think, is one example of how the sector as an industry can come together, even though they're competitors, can come together to create something that's even better. So thank you very much again for your time this afternoon. It's been a delight to be here today, and I have certainly learnt something.